From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carmen. We have Keo Doggy. We're at TabConf. We have Andre in the room. Look at that guy.
Wow. He's got his cool glasses.
You see his glasses?
I can't see his glasses.
You can't see his glasses? Those are amazing glasses. Dude, what do you think so far at TabConf?
Oh, it's great. I just got contact high sitting outside. I was just on my laptop.
Did I miss out on that?
Yeah, we had some Bitcoin stoners out there. I got a little contact high. It's been fun. Yeah, TabConf has been great. And my social anxiety is at level 11. Which is always fun to turn it up a little bit. Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun. I got to meet Boog, Octane Boog. I got to meet Vake finally.
He's right there.
Yeah, Vake is in the audience, staying in his lane, staying in his chair. Austin says never stay in your lane. But it's been great. I don't think I've gone to more than one talk, which is rare for me. I usually spend all of my time at talks, but yeah, I've been enjoying it. How about you, Toby?
Like I was telling Carr, I've been consistently hungover since I've been here.
Do we need to do that?
No.
Should I talk into this too?
Do both.
I just got to double fist it. Same time. Okay. It's been a very chill TabConf. There's a number of faces that I don't see this year, but there's also a number of faces that are new. So it's an interesting mix. Yeah. I have to confess that I have not gone to any of the talks.
Really? Why not?
Just sleeping in. Like we wrapped up a whole week in Mexico before we even came here. And so I'm still kind of hungover from that. So I've been sort of like learning about the talks through talking to other people that have seen the talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm secondhand enjoying the talks. Yeah. So otherwise, it's been a great conference. Like Tilwell kills it as usual.
Yeah. I think overall, it's been a really chill conference. A lot of great people here. Had so many great conversations, memorable conversations, and just I feel like it's just a really good vibe this year. Yeah, it's a really good vibe. With that, we're going to jump into the top five stories this week on Stacker News Live, the front page of Bitcoin. If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live, where we cap the front page of Bitcoin every week here on Stacker News. Last week, we had the most, what was it? The silent payments actually was the most popular one from last week. People were looking at that video, Keon. And the other thing was the... I think it was the zero click attacks. That was another one from 10 days ago that people were really interested in. So I guess everybody's paying attention to the AI stuff. But yeah, definitely check that out. We're going to jump into the top five stories now. Let me go here. Number five, Albi Hub routing stats. This is from Undisciplined, October 11th, Lightning Territory, 29 comments, 825 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, it looks like Undisciplined, who I think has been running a node probably or an Albi Hub node for about a year, looked at their stats and they published the stats that they received. And it looks like they've routed about 17.6 million sats in that time for a total transaction count of 1,600 transactions. And they earned 2,400 sats. Just seems kind of low. I bet they could do some fee optimization on their channels and maybe get that quite a bit higher. But they say they're consistently averaging about 10,000 sats routed at a fee. 10,000 sats. Their transactions are averaging about 10,000 sats in size. And then the fee, with collecting a fee of about 1.5 sats. So they could definitely do some fee optimization. Yeah, and then I think a few other stackers in the comments, they also have begun around with using AlbiHub as their node, and they list some of their stats as well, having not known that they could look at their routing statistics. But yeah, kind of cool to probably notice accidentally that you are assisting the Lightning Network.
Why would they share these type of stats out there?
They would. Why would Albie do that?
Yeah.
Oh, because you're curious about that if you're running a Lightning node. Like, especially if you intend to route Lightning payments, you kind of want to know how well you're doing at it. It's kind of like, why do we keep score in a basketball game? Why do we collect stats from players? We want to know that kind of stuff.
Topher, does this anything stick out here, Topher?
I would just build upon what Keon said. It's that it kind of helps you understand how liquidity is flowing through your node and how connected you are to the network. So I think this is cool. I didn't know AlbiHub actually collected this stuff. But yeah, it just lets you know, like, you know, how well connected are you? And how well do people notice you and use your node as part of their network? So it's like a good metric to have. Kind of similar to, I guess, routing traffic. Like if you're routing internet traffic, you want to see like how much traffic you're pushing. But this would be like liquidity. So yeah, it's a pretty cool feature.
Cool. The next top story is economic history wins the Nobel Prize. This is from Den, 7 comments. 1,437 sats. Keon, what's this?
Zoom in.
Looks pretty zoom in.
I don't know. Maybe just on the site test they wanted.
Oh, okay.
My browser. Yeah, so I guess economic history won the Nobel Prize again this year. I think this is the second year in a row we've seen economic history win the Nobel Prize for economics. I guess for many years they did not. They had kind of ignored economic historians when awarding the prize. Maybe it's kind of like how comedy movies never win the Oscars kind of thing, where it's just not seen to have like the same level of rigor or demands. But the winner this year was Joel Mockyer, I think is how you might say it. And the work that he did showed that showed that economic growth is mostly a function of culture, and in an attempt to explain why up until the 18th century we basically had no economic growth, and then after that we started to have economic growth, and his the work that he did shows that it was largely caused by cultural changes. And I guess he's written quite a bit about that. A lot of it was from people not shutting down scientific discoveries and like arms of inquiry into certain areas that might disrupt the order. So they became more so than in the past. They became open and accepting of scientific and technological change that might change things. And that's kind of an interesting insight. Like maybe as a society we can grow more just by being more open to letting new technology destroy the old technology. The Den wrote about that because Den himself studied at Oxford, and I believe specialized in economic history. So he's proud to see one of his colleagues in that area win a Nobel Prize. Do you have any thoughts, Denver?
I don't know anything about this gentleman and his work.
Dude, he gets $11 million.
Yeah, he gets a good chunk of change along with the prize.
Well, Kronar.
Is that more? What's Kronar?
Is it common for you to win a Nobel Prize for, I guess, being a historian?
Like, is that common?
They probably have a Nobel Prize for history.
This is very awkward.
What's Kronar to Bitcoin?
But yeah, I'm looking over like the work that he's published and sort of his background, and yeah, interesting guy. I like the subject of basically looking at economics, but like applying the tools that we have for studying economics in the modern day, but for like historically, like looking at ancient civilizations.
Oh, so it's only like 11 BTC. He's only getting 11 Bitcoin for winning the
Nobel. Carr is interested in how much money he got for his Nobel Prize, and it was 11 million Kronar, but a Nobel Prize, as far as I understand, they award 1 million US dollars to the recipient, and that equates to 11 million Kronar, which equates to about 11 Bitcoin. So
Bitcoin core devs are getting more than that.
So
we're safe.
So if you can do the conversion, one Bitcoin is equal to 1 million Kronar.
So should we have like a Bitcoin Nobel Prize?
I think we need someone to invent the dynamite of Bitcoin, and then we can get a Bitcoin Nobel Prize where they have like guilt about their invention and the destruction they've caused, and they
somebody call Eva Nivelis this number right here and see if she'll do a Bitcoin Nobel Prize. Get on it, Scoresby. Let's go.
Is Casey here?
Come on.
Casey would be the candidate.
Make it happen. Ted,
oh wow,
you filter this.
I think this is for the podcast, and that
the Nobel Prize. So, all right, that was a good one. The next top story is discuss saying hold your keys is similar to run your own email server. This is from Scoresby. He's sitting in the audience. 72 comments, 1,053 sets. Keon, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I guess this was a tweet that Scoresby found where someone was equating, I guess, the likelihood of people holding their own keys to the likelihood of them running their own email server. And
Is that true?
He encouraged stackers to discuss it. I would say it's true, especially for running something like a Lightning node, where I think there's a lot of...
Is it true? Raise your hand if it's true.
Totally true.
It's true?
Did people not want to run their own stuff?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to run their own stuff. I don't even want to run my own stuff. I just want the value of running.
Say that into the mic. We can't hear you.
Nobody wants to run their own stuff. I don't even want to run my own stuff. I just want the value you get by running your own stuff.
So you agree with this?
That nobody wants to run stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody wants to run stuff.
You heard it here first, folks. Nobody wants to run stuff. Anybody? Tidwell, you're here. Come here. Do people want to run stuff? You were running some stuff back there. Yeah, you.
Like run.
Say it into the camera right there.
Anything. You want to run anything?
Come here. Here, be careful.
Do you want to run a conference?
I mean, he's running a conference.
Yeah, I don't even really know what the question is. Do I want to run stuff? Yes, yeah. I would love to run stuff.
Holding your own keys is similar to running your own email server. And so if it's similar to running your own email server, no one will do it, and they'll just all use Gmail. They'll all use a custodial service.
Oh, that too.
Oh, does this get me to the live feed?
Same time.
Okay. You're saying I have to run an email server now. Is that what you just said?
No. Yeah. He's saying no one wants to run anything.
You just want the value of running it yourself.
I would say some of the value is privacy and sovereignty of said thing.
But you want those things, but you don't actually like.
Well, that's like saying like, that. I mean, if you can get privacy, sovereignty, you know, all these ideas by not running it yourself, sure. But you have to run it yourself to get those things.
Babe,
a lot of times.
I'm an engineer. Like, yeah. All we do is.
Well, sure. If you
make people get more value.
Sure. You're ultimately looking for the value, but yeah. It's important to note that some people value some of the features where it's like, privacy is the value that they're looking for sometimes.
Yeah.
Self hosting.
Mixers get you privacy without running your own stuff.
It depends on the implementation, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it just depends, I guess. Yeah. It depends, asterisks. Because if you can get all the value and all the features and all the qualities and not run it yourself, then there's not a real strong use case to run it yourself. But a lot of times, I would argue you can't get all those things unless you run it yourself.
I mean, that's why we all run stuff anyway.
Right. Yeah. So I mean,
so people do want to run stuff. Want the value of running it. They want the privacy. They want the control. They want all that stuff. No. But actually, running it is kind
of
tedious.
Right, but like I would say, most of the time, what the trade off people make is, oh, I want I want one part of the value. Right. Like, for instance, like we talk about like custodial Lightning, like I want the good user experience with Lightning. Right. But, you know, that means you don't have privacy. You don't have, you know, if you're using custodial Lightning, you don't have some of these other things. Right. But yeah. But if you're just considering the value, like I just send the payment, then your whole value more like compass is different than maybe someone else's. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
maybe
give them the mic.
Maybe
talking to both.
And okay.
Yeah. We have a real high tech setup.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
The best.
Maybe it's better said that people don't value privacy as much as they say they do, because everybody says they want privacy, and most people that run their own stuff want privacy, but in the market has demonstrated that they effectively don't care about privacy until it's too late. So that's why they don't want to run their own stuff.
Leave them behind.
I try to get them to read history books, but I mean, the more you get people to read history, the more they value privacy, I think.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys chiming in.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but first thing that people like to give up typically for enhanced user experience or opening up possibilities is privacy. I mean, that's like a lot of times when people make their trade-off of like, oh, this would work so much better, all we have to do is just get rid of privacy now. And now it's like way simpler, you know, like so many technological, you know, projects would work just so much easier if you didn't have privacy. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, if private, you know, if privacy is something that is non-negotiable, that makes the problem way harder and also way more interesting and way, way cooler when something is nicely packaged and done that also includes privacy. Those things are typically the things that can go viral pretty quickly. Right. Yeah. If they're done well, but it's very hard to do it well. Right. Typically. So I think a lot of people just give up on privacy sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, comment.
He's going to say stay in your lane probably.
Oh, wow. Big's talking now.
Here, I can get
on. How's it going, guys? So I think there's two material differences between email. Yeah, if you want to know. Between email and Bitcoin. The first difference is that email servers probably require constant upkeep and maintenance, right? The emails are coming and going. Whereas in Bitcoin, we have cold storage. You can put your Bitcoin in cold storage, and then, I mean, unless you're constantly putting more Bitcoin in, it's good. It just sits there. There's no more work you have to do day after day, week after week. And then also running a Bitcoin node, I mean, I don't find it very difficult. My Bitcoin node, I hardly ever look at. It just sits there. Whenever I boot up my wallet and it connects to my node on the back end, that's the only time it has any kind of anything to do. But like, yeah, my Bitcoin node, there's just almost no work to it. So that's, I think it's a lot easier than running an email server. But the second and more important reason is the reason why email servers on an individual level went away was the spam issue. And I don't mean necessarily incoming spam. I mean outgoing. When you send an email, if you're coming from an individual server, your emails were very often ending up in the spam folder of the recipient. Email does not have a good spam defense protection mechanism because emails are free to send, so they can be sent in mass. Now, in Bitcoin, we have an inherent spam protection mechanism, and that's called NOTS. Sorry, just joking. It's called fees. And that's the real reason why in Bitcoin we don't have, you know, an abundance of spam. There's an inherent mechanism to contain that.
Yeah.
So I don't actually agree that Bitcoin is going to be difficult for people to use on an individual level. And maybe we can use kind of compromises like collaborative custody, like Unchained or Casa that bridge that gap.
Great stuff.
Really good stuff.
Oh, this was fine.
We have someone else.
Oh, you have another one?
Yeah, go for it.
Kelly's got some thoughts.
Jody?
He runs some stuff.
Thanks, guys. So I don't know if you saw Paul Storz's speech yesterday. He was kind of saying Lightning Network was a failure and whatnot. And I had a comment to him, which was he said that he thought the Lightning would be a success if we kind of properly characterize it as a niche tool for power users. And what I said to Paul was, you know, most of us probably got our Bitcoin exposure through centralized exchanges, which are Bitcoin service providers. And if we've hodled, then we've probably benefited tremendously from these centralized services. And there's no shame in that. They offered a service to us and we took advantage of it. And, you know, in some ways, self-custodial Lightning is a real pain in the ass, but so is self-custodial Bitcoin is also a real pain in the ass, and people don't really want to do it and want to use these service providers. That's not really a problem with the users so much as it's a problem with maybe education and with the solutions that we have on offer today. So, and my point to Paul yesterday was, if Lightning is takes a similar approach as Bitcoin exchanges, which the reason that all of these Bitcoin exchanges were able to pop up in all of these different countries around the globe is because Bitcoin is permissionless for service providers, right? It's not just permissionless for like individuals, it's permissionless for service providers to get up and started, start selling Bitcoin, and seed the revolution to their customers all across the globe. And I think that we might see a similar thing with Lightning, as we've seen with Bitcoin exchanges, which is we'll have permissionless innovation for service providers. And let's not poo-poo that and say that's not valuable, because just as exchanges were super valuable from a business-to-consumer, a business-to-business perspective, I think custodial Lightning and Lightning service providers will also be super valuable for the Bitcoin population in the world over.
Good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, here you go. One more.
I'm really just stealing this so that I can fix it.
I think you want to do it with this one.
Yeah, that one's mine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, good too.
And this is the...
We got a technical difficulty.
We're fixing this mic situation real quick.
Yeah, so that way you can get both at the same time. But we've been hearing some really good comments from the audience here at TabConf. A lot of people are really excited about all the conversations they've been hearing. So go for it, Topher.
So I just want to say that running an email server was the worst experience of my life. And I wish I could get that back. All that time that I wasted. And it's not even running one server. You have to run multiple servers because there's like multiple different protocols that you have to deal with when running an email server. And if you don't implement all of the modern features that have been added over the years to whatever the frickin' email protocol is, then other service providers like Gmail will consider you spam right out the gate, and then your emails won't go anywhere. So even to play in the field, like, you have to do so much work just to be considered an email that maybe these larger providers will look at. But then even then, you got to like warm up your email and you got to do all this other stuff. Tristan knew a lot about this. Like, there's just so much nuance, not just running your own email server, but like having your own domain that you're sending emails from. I wouldn't even compare it to custodying your own keys. It's not even close. I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, like trying to run an email server. It's way easier to run a Lightning node, like way easier. So, but I still don't want to run one either way.
Good stuff. We're going to jump into the number two top story of the week. This is another item off the bucket list. This is from Jason B. 9 comments, 2,345 sats. Keon, this looks like drugs. What is this?
Yeah, Jason B. says he finally bought drugs with Bitcoin, and he means prescription drugs. So he's in South Africa right now, helping out in, Mazo Bay? Is it Mazel Bay? Mazel Bay.
What kind of drugs are those?
And Bitcoin Akasi. I think that is cough syrup medicine. I think he said he's had a cough for cough a syrup. Few weeks, and he's trying to get rid of it. Yeah, I don't think it's scissorup.
but what did he say?
I don't think it's scissor. You know, like it doesn't have like codeine in it or anything, which would be.
Is that known around the South?
Yeah, scissor. If it's in the rap songs,
it's what?
Lean. Yeah. So it has opiates in it. It like some cough syrup that's sold has opiates in it. I think I don't know why.
Is that what he's doing here?
No, this does not have opiates in it by the look of it. I would guess because this is the first time he's bought drugs with Bitcoin that he is straight edge. And this is as hard as it gets with Jason B, where he just buys some over the counter cough syrup. It looks like in South Africa there is a pharmacy that accepts Bitcoin. And if you look at one of the photos that he has, there's an organization in South Africa that set up this pharmacy to accept Bitcoin. The organization itself helps with fostering children in South Africa, and they also do things with Bitcoin, helping businesses that might serve some of the foster parents accept Bitcoin and getting them all kind of off of the inflation that in South Africa. There's some links that you can follow. And I think some stackers were sending some sats to that QR code there. Really cool to see Bitcoin used at a pharmacy. I think that's the first time I've seen that. So,
yeah. Tough.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out, where is this place located?
In South Africa.
South Africa? Okay, that's cool. It was just interesting because everything's in English. I guess that's normal though. I don't know. Never been to South Africa.
Yeah.
So
they speak English, but just with a weird accent.
I guess what's stopping from a normal pharmacy, like a local pharmacy in Austin, from doing this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's nothing stopping them. I noticed the Betamox, which is an antibiotic. Mm. So that's usually more regulated. So it'd be cool if I could buy drugs with Bitcoin. I mean, the last person to facilitate that, he just got out of jail recently, but I don't know if I want to take that chance. But it's cool that some places around the world that you can actually just buy normal drugs for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I feel like this is pretty consistently a pretty good use of Bitcoin, or one area you can use Bitcoin. Even today, you can buy many drugs internationally that are not scheduled with Bitcoin online, not even on the dark net, and many of them accept on-chain and even Lightning payments in many cases. You can apparently in South Africa, you can also go to a regular old pharmacy and get some drugs.
How many of you have bought drugs on the internet? I'm just kidding. Look, everybody's so serious. Next top story. Darthcoin Citadel, the fifth year building. This is from Darthcoin, October 15th. 52 comments, 15,000 sats. Keon, what's this?
Darthcoin has had a long summer away from, civilization, and has nearly completed his citadel in this fifth year.
He made a video.
He made a video, which has like stills of his progress as he went, but it involves him digging out a huge chunk of earth and then lining it with these things called earth bags, which these bags you fill with dirt. And then a lot of the work seems to be mostly moving the dirt around and getting the boulders out of the area where he was putting his little citadel. But this is like the first unit of his citadel where he will live while he builds the bigger citadel that he plans to build. And he's been building it all by himself by hand, which is pretty cool. And I haven't seen this complete of a write-up from him. I think because he's like nearing completion, he's getting a little more, or he feels he can actually cover the story better. But really cool. I've been watching this as it's been going, and it's really cool how much effort he seems to have put into it. And how much time and how far it's come and how nice everything is turning out. But he basically has a very nice cabin that he's all built himself by hand.
It's like a hobbit hole.
Yeah, without major tools. Yeah, it's like insulated by the earth. So it's like built into a small hillside. A northern hillside faces south so that can get sun on it. But it's also insulated from weather. I guess it's really rainy there, so he's done a lot of work on the roof, but he's going to have like a green roof.
He has a picture in the first one, in like the first post.
Yeah, of where it is.
That's like.
Oh yeah, yeah. He knows it's a hobbit hole. I guess for future updates, we can look forward to him installing a hydroelectric generator in a nearby river. Yeah, a vegetable garden. I guess he's even going to put a hot water boiler. He's going to heat his little hobbit hole with a Bitcoin miner powered by the hydroelectric generator in the river. A very cool update from Darth Boy.
It's a pretty cool project. I want to know what how's his finger doing? Because like his finger got pretty not like messed up from like handling a cow or something, and he posted a picture of his finger being mangled. It was a boulder.
I think he smashed with a boulder. Maybe it was a cow.
Yeah, so I want to see an update on that, because like he ripped off the tip of his finger, but the interesting thing with fingers is like they can grow back completely depending on like how far down your finger was amputated. So I kind of want to see like what it looks like.
You know, one of the things I haven't seen in this whole thing is the toilet. Like, how is he doing the septic and all that stuff? Is he just pitching turds like in the grass or something? Or like, that's one thing I haven't seen. So Darth, my question to you is, where are you taking dumps at, bro?
I would guess he's like using the usual camping method where he digs himself a little hole.
Oh,
it says like a latrine.
But what about the teepee though?
Leaves, or you just, you know, you kind of let sweat and nature do its thing. I don't get into kind of
really
gruesome detail about this, but
take a swim in the river.
Yeah, he's near a river.
Have you ever
there's a bidet nearby.
Let me ask the audience, have you guys ever taken a dump in a camp setting? And how do you do that?
You've never done it before?
No, I've never got. Can you come here and talking to the mic and tell us how you take a dump in a camp setting? Not lamping, please.
You just go deep into the woods and you take a dump.
I know, but what do you use for toilet paper?
Oh, you probably have a roll with you.
Oh, okay. But what if you don't have a roll? What do you use? Your hand?
What does your dog do?
I'd rather not get into specifics here.
You pinch it?
You use toilet paper.
Okay. So I guess Keon's saying you pinch your butt.
I mean, it shouldn't be open by default anyway, so I don't know what pinching goes. But I figure, you know, dogs and other animals, they don't use toilet paper. So I imagine if you're camping in certain conditions, you wouldn't either. But
I know. From the Charmin commercials, I just assumed that all of the forest animals have their own roll of toilet paper. and they only use the good stuff.
Well,
strong or soft?
Ooh. Oh, you got to go soft. You got to go soft. Yeah.
Strong or soft, Carl?
Charmin soft.
Okay.
Charmin.
Carl says soft.
Yeah.
I'm strong.
Whoa.
That's right.
Whoa. Hey, now. Darth Quinn, if you're watching this, I'd like to know how you're going to make a toilet. Next, I think that's all the top stories we have this week on Stacker News Live. We're going to jump into our top five. Which one?
Oh, the AMA. We usually don't cover
We don't cover the AMAs. It's meta. We're going to jump into our top five or our stories this week. But first, we're going to jump into AI Bitcoin. So Optimism every week does a really good write-up. If you haven't seen, every week on Stacker News, he does a This Week in AI. It's an amazing post. He grabs all the AI posts in Bitcoin and outside of Bitcoin, and he puts it into this long
newsletter type of thing, and it's phenomenal. And then what's great about it is each one of these have it's like a Bitcoin angle to it. So I highly recommend definitely checking it out every Monday when he drops it. One that stood out for me is this one. So this one got dropped by 0x Bitcoiner. It was called Emotional Manipulation by AI Companions. Topher, I know you're into the whole, what are they called? Like agent pets or whatever?
Agent pets. They call them plankers.
Or AI companion things. So apparently you can use these AI companions to like emotionally manipulate the user into like not signing off. And so they have this kind of whole example about ignoring the user's intent. So they're like, the agent will be like, hey, let's keep talking, you know, get me a bubble tea, you know, stuff like that. Keon asks you, are you doing this on Stacker News?
What am I doing on Stacker News? Using AI for something?
Yeah.
No, I don't use AI for anything really on Stacker News, except some embeddings for finding related things.
What do you think about this kind of stuff?
Using AI as a companion?
Emotional manipulation thing.
I think it might be useful in certain like therapeutic contexts. But I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't done any research on this kind of stuff. It seems scary, but so do most things that are kind of new and potentially helpful. The other side might be it's bad. So I haven't thought too much about it. It does seem, you know, for people that are already kind of not connecting with each other, maybe like they did before, having another alternative for how they can connect with real people might make that even worse. That would be my thing. I haven't looked at any of this research. And I do know that there have been a lot of stories that I've seen about psychosis, AI-induced psychosis. And, you know, this going deeper with AI on an emotional level for certain people who have certain tendencies might be bad.
So in study one, they conducted a behavioral audit of the 6 most downloaded AI companion apps, analyzing 1,200 user farewells to determine the timing, prevalence, and form emotional manipulative tactics, revealing reoccurring design patterns across platforms. And then they keep doing these studies, but they basically found that the outcomes were clear relevance for marketing strategy and ethics. And this is all conducted under the IRB. All the data materials are on GitHub. And I just think it's fascinating that they're kind of going down this route of just being transparent about it, but also like, it's weird. Topher, would you, because you do the AI stuff, would you make a chatbot to keep people engaged, to keep using it?
That'd be kind of fun. Just like a bare bones chatbot where it's just designed to like keep you in conversation constantly.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of baked in to a number of agents. Like they're definitely meant to be inquisitive. I noticed this with Grok, specifically like the Grok that's in my car. So my car has Grok in it.
Really?
And there's like different voices you can choose, but they're very inquisitive and they always end the conversation with a question because they want to keep you hooked. And I was surprised by like how effective that is, because I just wanted to ask my car a question and I end up getting locked in this conversation.
It's no different than what we did in like Web 2.0. It's no different than that, basically, like the algo.
It's still the same. Like the goal is the same, which is to keep you hooked. It's just the AI is much more intelligent about it.
So we shouldn't be like upset about it.
Like as if it's something new to be upset about. Like it wouldn't be something new.
Yeah. So it's okay.
It's I wouldn't say it's okay. The fact there's a gentleman here that thinks it's very much not okay. And so he's building an app to try and stop it.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for Mr. Feed Filter in the audience, but I guess he's running around.
Okay.
Yeah, so like about the post, like this is like a very extensive list of resources. But I was looking for one.
The numbers show, though. That's the crazy thing, is the numbers are actually showing the FOMO.
Oh, like, so what is this showing? Just number of messages, duration. So how effective the chatbot is
yeah.
hooked?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is for like a chatbot specifically. So that's not the same as a feed where it's like multimodal and you have all this different content that it can show you to keep you hooked versus just like a conversation.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought it was a great story.
Yeah, that is really cool. And it's something that I think that we definitely need to talk about and people need to be more aware about, because AI is going to get scary good at keeping people hooked, like worse than casinos and slot machines. Like, it's just going to be on a whole nother level.
It'll cure loneliness for sure.
Will it, though? Will it cure loneliness?
Yeah. I think so.
You might be right. Like, at some point, are we going to replace pets with AI?
Yeah.
That might happen.
We're replacing, like, vehicles with AI at this point.
They have, like, AI boyfriends now. Or girlfriends.
It's true.
Like, is that going to be healthy? Just to have, like, a...
Probably AI not, boyfriend? But it's where we're going.
Yeah.
At
least it'll put all the OnlyFans chicks out of business.
Cool.
Do you have any thoughts on it, Keon?
I don't think I have a whole lot on it. I would guess that we'll have more AI girlfriends than boyfriends, because I think dudes are lonelier, seemingly. But maybe it's just because I'm a dude. Forget what else was in there. Oh, and I think the scariest thing to me is I don't think they are training these things to be addictive yet. So, like, I think they're just getting started at making, they're like just making them good. And then they'll start, when they start monetizing them, they'll start making them addictive. And they've already, I think there have been some, I think they went to, I don't know, there have been some internal leaks or something about, I think specifically Facebook, Meta.
Closer to your mouth.
Facebook, Meta trying to, intending to put ads, begin to put ads into their chatbots. Which is scary. If these things are more addictive and more addictive than anything else we've seen, which is already quite addictive technology, you can just imagine how much worse it's going to get and how bad that is.
Yeah, it's even showing the different outcomes that it's using, like curiosity, guilt, anger, enjoyment. So it's definitely playing around with a lot of different emotions. Interesting. The next one I wanted to bring up, so that's all the AI Bitcoin stuff. Definitely check out This Week in AI on Stacker News every week on Monday. The next one I wanted to bring up was the Graphene OS is finally ready to break from the pixels. I don't know if you saw this. This is big news this week, but Graphene says a major Android OEM partnership will bring the OS to Snapdragon-powered flagships. Topher, I know you're a Graphene fan as well as I am. What do you think about this news that hit?
I think it's cool. Good luck to them. The moment you step outside of the Google line of products, you're just going to hit a lot of difficulties, because, and I don't know, like, what challenges like they're going to have to deal with their version of Android. But like previously I used to run like a lot of different versions of Android in the homebrew community, and trying to support multiple devices is really hard, especially because like the hardware is just so much different. And they might, and like other phones, like they're going to have like different screen sizes. Like they're going to have like the foldables, they're going to have like different sensors, maybe different features. Some of them might have like a stylus, like some phones like come with a stylus. And so you're just adding all of this stuff that now you have to support. So it's going to be, I mean, that's going to be a challenge for them to to really launch on any other platform. But I'm curious to see like what other phones they're looking at.
Yeah,
like the big ones are like, of course, the Pixels, but also like Samsung. It's like a really big player. So I would like to see graphene on like Samsung phones. That'd be nice. Yeah, to break free from like the from the Google ecosystem. So what do you think, Keon?
I'm just afraid it ends up in a situation kind of like Windows ends up in, where they're trying to target a bunch of different sets of hardware, and their product just kind of degrades in quality as a result, because they have to spend so much time on kind of different pieces of hardware and drivers and never supporting them 100% and all of that. I think that that would be my biggest concern, is they can effectively operate sort of like Apple, assuming one set of hardware and make the best software for that hardware. So I think that advantage kind of goes away, and I'm kind of afraid that their operating system is no longer as good.
Yeah,
as a result,
that's my fear too. It's like, let's say I don't want to get a Samsung device. I actually like the Pixels. I think they're really good hardware, and they're very comparable to an iPhone. So like, what do I get out of this as a graphene user? I don't get anything out of them going to other devices. And yeah, like I'm worried that the quality of the software is going to degrade, because now they're going to be more focused on trying to support like all this, these other hardware platforms versus just sticking to the Pixels. So yeah.
Something I want to say as well is, like, we may be very, very much more reliant on graphene moving forward. Like, even through the Android store, like, Google is forcing KYC in order to publish apps. Like, Android was always the easier place to, like, go through the store and publish apps. Yes, you have F-Droid, but then it's getting more and more difficult to deliver an app on mobile privately. And for the most adversarial apps, we might only have like a graphene and a Calyx as platforms that we can publish to. And I love graphene. I think we need to support them all the more, but it's like graphene isn't the one solution to this like larger problem. Like we need a freedom operating system for mobile. and graphene is doing that by, you know, forking Android, and that's a step, but I don't know. I doubt that that's like the strong foundation that we can really build a lot on top of.
What's the solution?
The solution is for, I think, a good actor to fund a large initiative open to build this out, and it'll take a long time. And it's just not a very attractive proposition to do. But I mean, like something I thought of when Tether announced their open source brain chip a year ago in Plan B Lugano. And they were like, well, because Elon is coming with Neuralink, you know, this was my call to action of, we need to have an open version of this. And it's like, bro, how about starting with the phone or like a printer that works, like something more foundational.
It's too easy.
Exactly. It's too easy. Except it feels very inaccessible to me without a lot of money and a lot of backing behind it. And you're just sinking money to make that happen. But I mean, either way, like I want to keep supporting graphene. And I have a feeling that we'll all be deploying graphene years forward or to F-Droid, and maybe only F-Droid, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. So I used to be in this community called XDA developers, and that's where a lot of these like custom operating systems are developed for different phones. And it was always a shit show. Like, everybody basically built their own thing, and there was very little like cross collaboration. It was just like, okay, I'm gonna build my version of an operating system. They would just take the OEM operating system and they would customize it, and they would try to like give you back your privacy, try to get rid of like some of the panopticon that Google puts in there. But at the end of the day, it's like, for all of these different operating systems, you had to install the Google Apps package, which was basically the Google Play services. And that's like the biggest challenge, is as Android is developed by Google, they are increasingly integrating their Google Play services into the operating system. And so graphene, what I love about graphene is their for the first time that I feel like they've actually tried to tackle this problem. Like, how do we rip Google Play services back out of the operating system, or at least sandbox it, so that, you know, you can run all of the apps that all the normies want to run, including me. Like, I don't want to be ostracized from all the app store. Like, I want to be able to run all these apps too, but they all heavily depend on Google Play services as well. So how do you get the best of both worlds? How are you able to have a phone where you can keep your privacy, keep your sovereignty, but you can still use all these apps? And Graphene's like really the only solution that I've been satisfied with. And I don't think that's something that's easy to replicate. So honestly, like, I would like to see more operating systems that I can choose from, but there needs to be like some kernel where it's like all these operating systems are built off of like the solid foundation that is just focused on sandboxing the Google Play services. Cause like, that's the enemy that we need to defeat. And,
but wasn't that the whole point of Android though? Like, wasn't that the whole point to have like a Linux version for the mobile? Wasn't that the whole point of it?
For like the point of Android?
Yeah.
The point of Android was to rip off Steve Jobs. Yeah, they wanted to, but like Linux is the best way to do it. Like, if you, you know, because it's an out of the box operating system that is just so good, and you can run it on any kind of hardware. So that's what they went with. But yeah, so over time, like, Android's sort of become its like own kind of thing. And it works really well on mobile devices and tablets and all sorts of other stuff too. Like TVs, even TVs run Android. Like, there's a lot of devices that run Android. And the only downside to that, it's like Android plus Google Play services. It's like you need to rip that out if you want your privacy back. And Graphene's done a great job of it. And I wish they would just focus on that and not try to break out onto other devices, because that's like what all these other custom operating systems, like what killed the project for any custom OS, is that they would try to release on many devices and then it became too much to deal with. And then the maintainers would just walk away. It's like, oh, I can't deal with this anymore. So I'd rather we just like focus on one device or one line of devices. And like, that's our beachhead. And then we just fight for that. And we make that as strong as possible. So like, cause that's like the real concern. It's like, how do you take the phone back? And if you expand it to other devices, I guess that's cool. But I hope it's like it's very targeted. Like, it's like, okay, we're doing the Pixel line of products, and now we're gonna do the Samsung line of products. And maybe that's it. And not try to like branch out to LG and just all these like other different hardware vendors. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm kind of like going either way. The happiest path to me would be that you sort of take the sandboxing of Google Play services and you make that like a solid project on its own that other operating systems can build upon. So it's like Graphene is just a version of a kernel that sandboxes Google Play. Like, you have like OEM Android with Google Play sandboxing, and then that's it. And you just focus on making that super solid, and then you expand that out to other devices. And then if you want additional features and flavors of things, then you like build off of that foundation. Because otherwise, like, Graphene's gonna be like the only version that actually does a good job of sandboxing Google Play. And then if they expand to a bunch of devices and they can't properly maintain them, then everything's just gonna go to shit. And then they'll just be like another custom OS that gets abandoned eventually. Like, XDA developers is a graveyard of custom operating systems that have been abandoned. And I don't want Graphene to be one of them.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the real solution is just Linux mobile and phones, and then just using something like WideWorld rather than the actual
Linux. You mean like running not Android, but like running Linux in general? Yeah, so there's like a project called Purism where they're trying to run... Yeah, but the thing is like you don't have access to the App Store. Or just like you, the thing is like there's so many developers that develop APKs.
Let him talk.
Oh, like yeah, you wanna talk to Mike? Yeah, talk about Purism or just like running APKs in a VM. Because I kind of know what you're talking about. Like you can run.
It's not in a VM.
Yeah, so with Android, what you can do is, sorry, with Linux, what you can do is run something called Waydroid, which essentially emulates the entirety of an Android operating system within a Wayland display.
What's the name of it?
Waydroid. Waydroid. Yeah, so it completely emulates an entire Android system inside your running Linux. And so you can run any APK that you can run on any Android phone. And you don't need Google. You don't need a whole system being powered by Google. You just need something based on Linux that can run your phone. And so there are a lot of projects trying to bring Linux to phones. The problem is that they're not funded. You know, GrapheneOS has lot of developers, lots of people, lots of money. If those same projects had the same things, it would be much further along. At least that's my opinion.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Do you
grab a hat? Grab a hat.
Yeah, grab some merch.
Yeah.
So do you use Waydroid yourself?
I do. Yeah.
How well does it work with apps that have Google Play integration?
Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
So you're
showing us a Waydroid project.
Basically having an interop.
Talk to the mic. Stackers can't hear you.
Sorry. So that's a great solution that you presented. But
show yourself. Your wife wants to see you.
Oh, Jana.
Say hi to your wife.
Hi, Jana.
Oh, what's up?
He's alive.
I forgot what I was saying. Wait, okay, so that's a great solution, but then you don't have the interop around the Google Play services, which is what you were talking about, Topher.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a really good trade-off, but then you're leaving a lot on the table. I have to think about like what you're losing through not being able to interop with Google Play services. But if you can sandbox it at the kernel level, like you're saying, then you can kind of have the interop, but then still have like the graphene-esque privacy guarantees. And de-googling your phone. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is correct. Sorry, yeah, that's correct. But technically speaking, you could run the Google Play services inside Waydroid too. You just have to do a bunch of changes in how it's structured. But you could have the same exact thing as you do in GrapheneOS.
Yeah, so
technically.
You can manually bridge like the services you needed, for example.
I'm saying you could.
Yeah, okay.
On a technical level.
Yeah, I should clarify, Google Play Services is actually an APK. It's like, yeah. It's an application in of itself. So you could run Google Play Services as an APK. The problem is that other apps use Google Play Services, even when like they shouldn't, even when they don't really need to, but then they just do it. And then so they have Google Play Services as a dependency. And so Google Play Services becomes this Trojan horse. Because if I have an app that uses Google Play services for something simple, like maybe identity logging in or some, they're doing some like little Bluetooth thing or like trying to figure out like a location services, then it's like, okay, I need Google Play services for my app to do this one thing. But now Google Play services basically is surveilling everything else that's going on my phone. It's like, how do you sandbox that? And how do you make that something that you can share with other projects?
Topher, this is what I'm waiting for right here. I'm waiting for this phone. It's just a Linux phone.
Or we could just all go back to flip phones, you know? Remember T9? Where you're like, T9, where you like type in, you start typing in a word on the dial pad and it just automatically auto-completes. You get so fast with that. Just have blazing fast thumbs. Yeah, what's this car?
This is the Comet phone or the...
This is the Linux phone, the Mecca. I think it's called the Mecca one. We talked about this earlier this year. but this is just like a modular phone that runs Linux. We brought this up earlier this year at Stacker News Live, but I think it's either gonna, I don't know, I either see all this just kind of passing because phones die and then we just go on to the next thing, or I see us just going reverting back to Linux. Yeah, I don't know. You have any thoughts?
No, I think we've had a lot of thoughts on this.
Okay. Keon's ready to move on. All right, let's go on to the next one we have here is, oh yeah, so this was another big one, Keon. LightSpark acquires Striga, a leap forward for open compliant payments on BTC. I don't know if you guys saw this, but LightSpark bought Striga. Keon, you have any thoughts on this?
No, I only glanced at this. I don't really understand what it entails. I think maybe Striga has a bunch of compliance experience internationally or something, and LightSpark, by acquiring them, gets that expertise. And then, of course, all the licenses they've acquired, which tend to take a lot of time. So as far as I understand, that's mostly what they're doing. I think the plays that we see LightSpark making are them trying to become a financial services company that has Bitcoin sort of disappeared into it. And this is a step in that direction as far as I can tell.
I don't get, what was the point of them acquiring Striga?
I think it's just more...
The licensing, basically.
More bank
EU licensing.
So this company already had licenses for like money transmission, or
they bought a regulatory moat.
Oh, they bought a regulatory moat. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, in Europe, if you have a bunch of cards,
give them the mic.
In Europe, a bunch of cards, even Bitcoin-related ones like Wave Space. I don't know if you've heard of that. They use Striga to actually provide the credit card and IBAN and all of that stuff.
Are they looking to integrate into credit card terminals?
I guess so. I mean, Striga does it already, so.
Okay, so Striga does like credit card processing. Oh, that's cool. Nice.
I just thought it was fascinating. It was the biggest story this week. And I just think it's just them catching up to a lot of other Bitcoin companies in the space that have a lot of these licenses already. So yeah, like you said, they're not playing. Anyways, that was the other story. And then we're gonna jump into Keon's top stories. I found a business that accepts Bitcoin in Venezuela. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, B57, used to live in Venezuela, moved to Peru, then has recently come back to Venezuela, I think, to be with family. But they've been trying to find a business that accepts Bitcoin in Venezuela. We also Malice 10 photographs Venezuela and shares it on Stacker News frequently. They also went through this process of trying to find somewhere in Venezuela that accepted Bitcoin. He failed. He only found places that accept Tether. But B57 managed to find a nationwide towing service that operates 24/7 that accepts Bitcoin in addition to other cryptocurrencies, which is not uncommon. But at least they accept Bitcoin. So that's their first discovery of finding somewhere they can spend Bitcoin in Venezuela. And I thought that was cool, because we all expected or we all hoped that there would be more places that valued Bitcoin and wanted to receive it for services.
So what's the story behind them accepting Bitcoin?
I don't know. I don't know if she's talked to them yet. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like they, I don't even know if they've used them yet, you know, because you don't really use towing on a regular basis. So with fingers crossed, her car breaks down and she can get a towing service, or she can find someone on she can find someone on the maybe a side of a street and help them use them and pay with Bitcoin. I don't know. I don't know how you'd actually use it without having a problem where you need a towing service.
I like the name Crypto Monedas. And it's a Bitcoin logo, so I'm guessing this guy is a Bitcoin maxi.
Is that Cashier? Oh, okay.
That's cool. Also take Zelle. Dollars to euros in Efectivo. So it looks like they just want to be able to accept anything. really. So if you're a tourist and you get stranded somehow, maybe you rent a car and it breaks down. I don't know. Like how, I guess either this guy's like a Bitcoin maxi. And so he, that's why he's accepting.
No, this
Bitcoin.
Is how it starts. You accept everything. And then after time passes, Bitcoin only.
Yeah. No, it'd be cool to hear like this guy's story and how much, well, maybe not how much Bitcoin he has specifically, but like what is the strategy with accepting Bitcoin?
The strategy is this, Topher. That's the strategy. It's going to eat everything. That's the strategy right there. Bitcoin. It's eating everything. Anybody disagree? Not in this room. Look at that.
Drive chains, you know.
Drive chains, maybe. Second best. Third, fourth, maybe somewhere around there. Okay. The last story. What is that picture? That's weird. The last story we have is now you can bisque on mobile. Any of you BISC users out there? Bisking? Y'all bisking out there? I see you. I see you. I see you over there. Bisking. Bisking in the corner. Doing all sorts of bisking. See you over there. Bisking. Bisking it up. Keon, I've never heard of BISC, but you have. What's this?
Yeah, so BISC is a decentralized exchange.
Too much fun.
And they recently...
Is it easy?
Yeah, last year they came out with BISC 2, and they have a new trade protocol as part of BISC 2 called BISC Easy, where you don't have to put up a fidelity bond to participate in a trade. And they released... they recently released this mobile app, which should make BISC... BISC Easy, much, and it's a mobile app specifically for BISC Easy, should make BISC Easy much more accessible to people. Because that was kind of what a lot of the feedback they got as they've developed BISC is that it's quite hard to use. And so they developed this trade protocol BISC Easy to make it easier, where you can just kind of come without any money at all and begin trading with highly reputable trade partners. And now it's in a mobile app, and that's good. And I just wanted to share that because I feel like people don't watch this stuff very often. They're all happy in their KYC'd stuff under Trump right now. So,
Topher, are you going to try out the new BISC? They even have I even noticed here they have a manual APK, which is crazy. And then you can also verify directly. So, really interesting stuff. You gonna check it out, or did you install it already?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Oh wow!
Installed it, and it looks pretty cool for a mobile app.
Can you show
the
camera?
I mean, it's definitely better than the desktop interface. Well, yeah. So this is, where's the camera? So right now it's trying to connect me to peers. I keep getting kicked off the network. I don't know why. Oh no! I have to create a new profile. I already went through this step. Now I have to do it again. I'll just call myself Stacker. Next.
So it's had over 1,000 downloads in 3 days.
And then getting started. Okay, so I have 7 peers. Shows me the price. Oh, we're at 108. Is that the price? 108?
How?
Or are they baking in a spread? So, no, it looks pretty cool. You can look at offers. They, zero offers for anything. Oh, wait, there's some offers down here. Oh, the US dollar. Okay. Oh, they're coming. They're streaming in. Yeah, because it's a decentralized marketplace. So it's like it takes a while for the offers to populate your phone.
You can still do Amazon cards and gift cards still?
I can do search. I mean, all I see is just like national currencies.
Okay.
So, no, I don't see gift cards.
Mm.
So it's just offers to buy and sell Bitcoin for a currency. And then you can look at your trades. Then what else can you do? Payment accounts, reputation. Okay, so like the standard BISC stuff. That's cool. I like it. It seems like a nicer interface than the desktop version. Only thing is this probably murders your battery because it has to keep a Tor connection alive in the background. So, yeah, keep that in mind. But, yeah, I'm going to try it out.
Do you have anything else? Really cool stuff from BISC got released this week. I think that's all the posts that we have this week. Just some meta. So we're here at TabConf, just real quick. If you guys haven't grabbed a shirt or a hat, make sure to grab one. We have some hats. We also have this amazing DVD. You guys seen this? Look at this. Limited edition Stacker News Live DVD, uncensored. Fake bought a DVD. Look at that. Look how proud he is. He's wearing it on him.
Something you can pass down to your children.
Something you can pass down to your children is what Topher said. But yeah, what do you think so far of the Stacker News Live or Stacker News table and everything that you guys have been doing this week at TabConf, Keon?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was great to meet lots of stackers. I'm glad Boog put it together. Boog was the one who suggested we do the table or forced us to have a table and set it up and made sure we were here. And yeah, I'm really grateful to Boog for that. Yeah, I'd like to get rid of more hats so I don't have to travel back with them. So if anyone would like a Stacker News hat before they leave, and I will gladly give you one, no purchase required. But that's about, that's, yeah, otherwise I'm pretty stoked.
Where's the hat level at in your office? Because like half of your, I don't know if people know this, but half of Keon's office is just hats.
Pretty much.
A significant portion of it was hats. I call them bushels of hats.
Bushels.
So I think I have like 4 bushels left. And it's like a bushel is a technical term for a plastic bag filled with like 12 hats, I think. So I have 4 bushels. That's like what? 48? Yeah.
Have you tried to wear all of them at once?
Bushel? No, I've not worn a bushel at a time, but you know, there's enough time on, I'll have enough time on Earth to do many things that I haven't done yet.
It's a very popular thing to do in Mexico.
Oh, wear more than one hat in Mexico?
Where did you get the cowboy hat? Where'd you get this hat from?
Yeah, so in Mexico, they have these hat vendors, and they just wear their inventory on their head. And so if you want to buy a hat, then they just have this like stack of 20 hats that they take off, and then you go through the hats and you buy one or two or whatever, and then they just put it all back on their head and walk around. Okay. It's like you could do that. Just walk around with like 20 Stacker News hats on your head. You're trying to sell them.
So Scoresby made these cowboy hats. He bought them. They're for stackers who have maintained a cowboy hat for a year or more on Stacker News. And there's only 12 of them now. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, and these are made. I think most cowboy hats are made out of beer. This is like beaver fur, and then he burned it with a wood burner.
Yeah.
Wait, the logo in it? Wow.
Yeah, we did it like by hand.
Dang.
Yeah. Real, this is real, real craftsmanship.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also some chips and salsa that Scoresby brought over. I tried the middle one. It's kind of spicy, but Mateo's really not that spicy salsa. Pipe Devs, did you try the salsa?
No.
Okay. Just making sure. You guys are interested in some salsa. That's the salsa table. what is that picture? That about covers it. We had a couple of comments this week. One of them was from the guy sitting in the chair over there. He said, what did you say?
Stay in your lane.
Oh, you heard it here first. He said it. He said, stay in.
Have we recorded him saying, stay in your
lane? I don't think we ever. Can we get you to come to the mic and just say it one more time for the stackers? So every week, this guy, Make, goes in our comments, and he repeatedly says this all the time. So, Bake, just one time for the stackers. Just tell us, tell Carr and Keon to
stay in your lane.
Oh, that feels so good.
Stay in your lane, Carr.
I'm trying every time. It's just really hard.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah.
I don't know where. Like,
I don't know if people know this, but in the office, like, Carr uses that phrase all the time. It's like, I'm just trying to stay in my lane. Like, it's like how he ends every conversation. I'm just trying to stay in my lane.
Trying to stay in my lane.
Want to give a special shout out to Tidwell, Brianna, and Brandon for giving us this table, and D++ for allowing us to steal her area for a little bit while we do Stacker News Live. Real quick, we're going to do the top Cowboys. Cowboys, baby! Where are we at? Top Cowboys. Keon, top Cowboys. Get on up.
I don't think we've had many changes this week. One of the most exciting parts of the segment is it practically never changes. And because it requires most people at the top of the list, it requires them doing this for a long time. And so it doesn't really change.
So all 12, all top 12 got hats?
All 12 will get hats, and they're all Yeah, so we gotta get undisciplined.
You get a hat.
Boog already has their hat because they were here. So we gave he was
Ray Ruby's in the hat.
Ray Ruby will get one. Coins reporter. We gotta ship that off to India.
Optimism gets a hat.
Optimism, I guess. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Optimism has a year yet. Let's see. What do they got?
Wow.
Oh no, they're about half a year. But there are other people who had a year who lost it.
Wow.
So we'll get them a hat.
Dang.
Yeah.
Ben Carmen, you should have had a hat, bro.
He didn't get to a year.
That's all I'm saying. He could have had one.
Could have
had one. Pretty crazy stuff. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Probably not. Maybe trying to catch up on work that I missed while I was here. Things that I didn't do because I was here. I'll probably be alone on my computer as I like it, which is... my kind of fun. I'm staying in my lane, staying in my office, how I stay.
I feel like TabConf is like your Groundhog Day. Like this is when you come out and then you look for your shadow. And then once this is all over, you just go back into your office for another year.
Yeah. That'll be how it'll work.
What are you doing?
I'm catching up on work too. It's like, because we had the whole week in Mexico and then doing TAB.
You also fell in love in Mexico.
Oh, we're not. We don't have to talk about that.
You kiss and tell?
Not when a camera's staring me in the face. No. Yeah, but so I'm probably just going to catch up on work too. Just like a solid weekend in solitary confinement. Yeah. Me and a laptop. Yeah. This is the only woman I need.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the lab this weekend, so I'm just going to be working on Saturday. I probably won't come in tomorrow because I have to travel. Yeah, we'll be together this weekend, probably. But we're going to be doing Hack and Tell here on the main stage at 3:30 in 30 minutes. Any of you guys have projects you want to show off? Oh, you do, Plebdevs. Do you have a project you want to show off? Or is it the same project? So no. Okay, so we have two projects. Anybody else? There's no sign-up sheet. So three projects we have to show off. Yeah, we're going to be doing that here in 30 minutes. And then after that, I want to check out this IMAX theater that's here in Atlanta. It's a really big IMAX theater. I want to go watch that new Tron movie. Not Justin Sun Shitcoin, the actual beautiful movie. I want to see what that looks like in IMAX. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
I almost saw that movie
in Mexico. You almost saw it in Mexico?
Yeah, because it's like the only movie that you can see in Mexico that is not a horror movie.
Dude, apparently apparently the soundtrack is with Nine Inch Nails, and everybody who's seen it says like it's the best music video slash movie, but the movie sucks. But the go for the music and the find the biggest screen type of thing.
Yeah.
So I'll write a review on Stacker News, post it later.
That's like the MO for Tron movies. It's like shitty movie, great soundtrack.
Yeah, great soundtrack. Yeah. So that's all I'm going to do this weekend.
All right.
Cool. Oh, snap. I scrolled down and look what I saw. So it looks like Darth Coin posted his finger. Where is it at? In regards to my question about my finger is fine now. The repair operation went really nice using the nail to cover the missing part of my finger. That's what it looked like. Can you see that? You guys can't see that because of the thing, but it looks pretty bad. And then this is just what it looks like now.
Oh, yeah, it healed really fast. You happy?
I'm happy. Yeah. So it didn't grow all the way back. It It's just a little bit shorter. But he still has the nail.
Where? I don't see
it. Oh, but it's on the tip.
Wait, so the nail is bent in there?
I guess.
So when he bites his nails, it's like biting in the front? That could be fun.
That's a little weird.
Oh, he said eccentric. It in regards. Read that right there, Topher.
Where? Yeah, one of my biggest concerns, because I still don't know where and how he'll build the toilet. Whoa, okay, so it's done in a special place. Okay. That's cool. Does he have a name for the special place?
He says he's going to call it Shitcoiners.
Is it like Turd Mountain? Yeah. Turd Rock?
It's funny.
Oh, that's cool. He lives in a beautiful area. And lots of trees. So Darth Coin's doing it right. Yeah. Do you have any ideas of where you're going to build your Citadel car?
No. No. Maybe Texas somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to build a Citadel.
You're not going to build a Citadel?
Yeah. The world is going to become a Citadel.
The world's going to become a Citadel. Like a 15-minute city kind of thing? Like we're all just like stuck in a...
No, I think most of the world will be I don't need a citadel.
So you'll just go hang out in somebody else's citadel?
Yeah, probably not. That's probably the best.
Okay.
Yeah, most of you guys will be rich. And I'll need someone to take care of me.
We just need to encase Stacker News office in like in a shell and put wheels on it, and then we can just wheel your operation wherever it needs to go.
Exactly. That's what we said at all.
Cool.
This is cool.
All right. That's been another Stacker News Live. We'll see you next year from TapConf again, maybe.
Maybe.
Keon.
Tap.